Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Now. Sports Talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zolak and Bertrand.
The sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Are you stupid or something?
Stupid is, stupid does, sir.
So James White called for the pass interference.
Well, we got to see where he is first. He wasn't really downfield at all. He stops and turns.
And it leaves the Patriots in third and 12. Throws down the middle for Gronk. Open. Lunges. Makes the catch. Absorbs the contact. And falls in the end zone. Third down and four from the 16. Two receivers left. Gronk hand down right as the tight end. Meanwhile, Gordon to the right with the Jets to take a timeout.
They couldn't line up on Devlin. Jets had everybody covered except James Devlin all the way out to the left. They had to burn a timeout.
McCown in the gun. Crowell to his left. Play fake to the back. And flags fall again. Out of the bye, it's
before
been stop and start today.
Full start. Offense, number 68, 5-yard penalty, still first down.
Left tackle Calvin Beecham, the guilty party. For a snap to McCown. They interrupted again. Another full start on the Jets.
Before the snap, full start. Offense, number 11, 5-yard penalty, still first down.
You stupid or something.
Before the snap.
I'm as stupid does.
Before the snap.
You gotta wait till after the snap.
Aha!
Guys.
I know it's back-to-back, but I still have to call it.
Here we go again. Before the snap.
You think I want to call that one? I want to call holding. I don't want to call false start. I want a big penalty.
We love to call penalties, this crew, but come on.
But give me a break, guys. Hey,
that's in our face, pal.
Let us screw
before
up
before the snap.
Yeah, let us screw up a play that's already happened. Don't make us throw these things before the snap.
You dumbass.
Before the snap.
Before the snap.
Like, are you guys kidding me? Here we go again. All right, why the Jets were stupid. Let's focus in on what is really just a boneheaded mistake that they made early, which is accepting a penalty to give the Patriots a third down instead of a fourth down.
I had a problem
with it. They swapped it into a third and 12.
Back them up.
It then led to the play by Rob Gronkowski, the touchdown catch that he made from Tom Brady. What you're doing there, though, when you decide that, when you decide to accept it, you're gambling, you're betting on yourself that you're going to get a stop on third down, right?
Yeah.
If they did get a stop on third down, no gain for the Patriots, right? Let's say an incomplete pass. What have you done? Because are the Patriots still going to line up and kick a field goal? Would have been about a 49-yarder.
They would have went for it. First thing I thought, and I looked at Bob, they're going to go for it. Like, they got to go here. Because I thought they were going to decline the penalty.
I think you misunderstood, Zoe. If you get the stop on third down and now it's fourth and 12,
right.
What are the Patriots doing?
They're probably going to kick a field goal.
Probably going to kick a field goal. So what have you accomplished by betting
seven
on yourself
three, man.
To make you've made it a harder field goal attempt?
When they first did it, I thought they were pushing them back out of field goal range.
They weren't.
They were still in range.
They were still in field goal
still
range.
Still in range, but
so
third
all
12.
You've done is you've taken a gamble on your defense that you're going to force a harder field goal attempt.
Well, what do you look at?
Is that worth it?
No. If you're a coach and you look at numbers and you look at trends and if you're into analytics, you look at the Patriot team and what has changed from this year to last year. Last year's team could convert third and 12, third and 14 in their sleep because they had guys like Danny Amendola that could win in the middle.
Okay, you're missing the point.
No,
I'm
not.
You're totally missing the point.
Because third and 12 this year is much different than third and 12 last year.
So let's say they don't get it. It's now fourth and 12 and they still kick a field goal. And the end result is the same. All you've done.
Goal. Patriots want a touchdown there. They would have went for it.
Well, they wanted it. No.
They would have went for it.
Fourth and 12?
Fourth and one.
Or fourth and one?
They're not fourth going. And two, Zoe. It's fourth and two.
They're
fourth
not
two.
Going they for it on fourth and 12, though. They're kicking a field goal.
Right.
If you don't accept the penalty, right, you've got to assume as a coach, even if they are going for it on fourth and two, that's 3 points.
He would have got crushed for giving them fourth and two.
Then the gamble is on the Patriots. The Patriots might decide giving up the 3 points is worth it to go for it on fourth and two. But you know that if you've got to assume that if you decline the penalty, it's already three there, right?
Fourth and five plus, I think they take the penalty. I mean, they decline the penalty.
Can we think of it a different way?
Sure.
So what is your, in that moment, in that game yesterday, with all that's happened early in the game, what is your confidence in the Patriots picking up a fourth and two?
It doesn't matter. They still would have went for it. They would have went for it.
It does matter because you're the coach. What's your confidence in your team picking up that fourth and two?
That play has to be one of those type of plays that gets you going. That's why you roll the dice in that situation.
I'm asking you, what was your confidence level in the Patriots actually making a fourth and two and converting with all the play calls that they've had in short yardage of recent? What are the odds they pick that play?
Like the goal line yesterday.
Based on who they had? But they're a better team outside the goal line. I don't want them down inside the five. I hate plays down inside the five.
So they would have been better off in third and 12 as opposed to fourth and two then, you're saying?
No, they'd have been fine in fourth and two. You still have the whole field to work with. The problem is down and tight inside the five, you only got 14 yards to work with. So you have the back end line to protect your ass. You still have the ability to go vertical in fourth and two. You mean to tell me this team hasn't taken shots on third and one or third and two?
No, they have.
Throw bombs on it. This team's different this year. That's where
I'm saying you might not have had a field goal. You might have had 0 points.
Right?
If you would have let them go for fourth and two.
There's no gimme Gostkowski makes that. It's still
right.
A tough kick.
So that's the thing, too. If you are saying, you know what? All right, we'll
If they run, Patterson jet sweep on fourth and two like they did on the third and two.
We're going to do that
on fourth and two. We're going to miss the play. The Jets have all the momentum. The crowd turns. It's 7-0. You get the ball back.
I have zero problem with that play.
I'll give the Patriots credit for responding on that drive with a touchdown, but you cannot forget that they were gifted something there that gave them a boost. I think that gave them a boost. That was a swing type of play. Didn't win them the game. There are some people that would say when that happened, you're like, oh, forget it. The Jets are cooked. Game over. The Patriots win. And in previous years, I think I would have said that. I think I would have said, oh, here we go again. Same old Jets. Patriots are going to steamroll them now. That didn't happen, and I wasn't expecting it to happen. They went to the locker room tied at halftime. Mm-hmm. You cannot forget, though, that decision by Bowles helped the Patriots.
And it still took two Hall of Fame guys to go out and make a hell of a play. And it's a great throw. Brady got croaked on it. It was blitz look. He got hit by two guys, and Gronk went up and took it. Man, that's just two guys making a great play. That's not a high percentage throw or play, man. That's not right down the gut like that.
How many other times did they go to that well in the game? Gronk down the seam.
It's got to be do or die. Like It took me right back to Denver a couple years ago.
In that game, how many times did they do that? That's the only time they did that, right?
The only time they did it, yeah.
You know why? Because Belichick said, oh, they're giving us a play. Or McDaniels said, oh, they're giving us something. We're going to go to our guy in the spot. We don't want to use him. We want to limit the times we go in the seam so he stays upright for the playoffs.
I still think they're saving that for Pittsburgh.
Yeah. To get all the momentum.
Yep.
And look what they knew that was a momentum changer.
Look what it did for the game. Woke 87's ass up.
Otherwise.
I'm sorry. Woke 87's ass up.
Well, shot in the arm when they decided to... decided to accept and not decline the penalty.
Oh, you're going to decline this? Okay, we're going to go to the well. Thanks. We're going to get a score.
You know what else you did too?
And you know what else you can do there, Jim? It's like a free play because you know that on third down, you take that shot because if you don't get it, we still get points here. They were still coming away with points. When it happened in the moment, I made the same assumption Hardy did. I'm like, oh, this is going to back him up out of field goal range? And I'm like, wait a minute.
No,
it isn't. They can still get three. They still have three here either way.
You're still pushing.
So you know what you're doing if you're the Jets? Like, to go to Jim's point, when you decide you're not going to you're going to back them up, you're guaranteeing that they're going to probably come away with points. Because if they don't get it on third, they're going to kick a field goal. There's no going for it on fourth and 12. So if I were a Jets fan, right. I'd have a huge problem with that. I'd be pissed. It'd be one more thing to add to the list of this bozo Todd Bowles doesn't grasp being a head coach.
Oh, like punting inside the 50 in the third quarter? Or
you know
fourth
what?
Quarter, whatever it was?
And I've thought that I think he can coach. I do.
Who?
Like, if you've got 32 coaches in the league, I think Todd Bowles can be one of them. Not going to be a great one. Probably not going to win your Super Bowl. But you could do worse than Todd Bowles.
They don't quit on him.
You could do worse than Todd Bowles. Yeah. But there are just some head scratchers with this guy. There really are. He'll get
there's
another
coaching
game.
And teaching, and then there's managing a game. Clock situations, all that stuff.
He hasn't really fully grasped that part of it,
Andy
but he
Reid,
does
Andy
get guys
still
to play
paid
hard.
A lot of money to do that at a higher level.
I think he's decent at cleaning up a bad situation. I think he's done a decent job of that in New York. They at least seem to be going in the right direction. But I thought that was incredibly stupid. That's what I thought.
Third and 12 are better odds than fourth and two, and we knew they were going to go for it because they typically do on fourth and two. We had a better chance at third and 12.
I agree with him. Yeah, I still do. I stand by it.
You and Todd
Bowles. Sosie does, too.
Two Parcells guys. Zoe and Todd Bowles.
Yep, you, Todd Bowles, Bob Sosie.
Back him up.
That's how Frank Sessa feel about it.
Back him up.
Frank Sessa's a Parcells guy.
Told him
he came up in the Giants system.
Every New York beat writer is against that.
You know, they asked me to coach. Yeah, they asked me to be a position.
I coached a number of teams.
Number of teams. Who's this Mike Riley guy?
What number is he? What number? What number is he?
He's a special teams coach?
Number one.
What do I care about a special teams coach? They asked me to coach offense or defense. Tell me something about the Blackhawks.
617.
Let me do hockey on a Friday. I do football on a Friday. Okay. You okay? I've been doing this for 28 years now? I do football on a Friday. You wanna call here and tell me to call talk more hockey? I'm not gonna do it. What's going on?
Zolak and Bertrand continues.
Hey.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub. Listen to the podcast on the 98.5, the Sports Hub app.
And then at long last, it is.
All right, good job. Good work. Timmy, good job. Great man. Thanks, man. Thanks for your help. Thanks, man.
Tiger and Phil finishing under the lights. And the bright light shining on Phil, who collects every penny of $9 million.
So this took place on Friday, Tiger versus Phil.
Right.
I saw none of it, but I got a kick out of the fact that you hosted a party, did Hardy, at his new compound, his brand new house. To have invite people over for sandwiches the next day. It was very nice. She's extend the invite. I was in film. I'm like, I'm not coming. I can't come over.
You got an invite.
It's my last David Hadley. I did.
It wasn't a full-blown party. It was a couple of people I thought might be interested.
You know what? The fact that it wasn't a party was what made it enjoyable.
Oh, see?
And the fact that later during the day, I got a bunch of texts and tweets that, hey, this sucker's available for free. Bleacher Report app.
Unbelievable.
What a joke.
How much did that piss you off right there?
It pissed me off a little bit, but almost immediately I found out that I was going to be getting the money credited back.
Right. So, by the way, just in case people...
At Comcast.
No,
just, by the way, we should explain for anyone who didn't follow this or knows what happened. One of the cable operators, I don't know where, not locally, not Xfinity, had an issue, I guess, processing orders for people who wanted to order it on TV.
Right.
They had an issue processing the orders for pay-per-view, and so people who ordered it weren't getting it. And therefore, Bleacher Report, who was running the thing and was sponsored by Capital One, decided, well, we'll just stream it then. We got to stream it. There are people that paid and they're not getting it, and that's not fair. So we'll just open up the stream to everybody online for free.
Right.
And then people like Hardy, who had already ordered and paid, were like, what? Well, wait a minute. If it's free, why did I pay you for it? And by the next day, I don't know if every operator did, but I know that Xfinity put out a statement saying they're crediting back $19.99. Darren Revelle had that report.
Yeah.
So they gave you back your money.
So Beetle and a lot of other people are immediately trying to bust my ball, saying like, oh, this is the guy who said he'd pay any amount or pay as much as $50, $60, or $50. No, that's what I would have paid when I thought the cost was going to be $40 or $50. When it turns out it was $20, I was willing to pay $20.
Right.
When it turned out the cost was nothing.
Zero.
That became the new top end that I was willing to spend on it. Nothing.
Okay,
zero.
Let me ask it to you this way before we get to the actual golf. If you knew that it was going to be streamed for free online and dealing with streaming and trying to put it up on your screen and all that crap, or you could pay $20 for what was a very nice, crystal clear, high def, you know, ordering on TV, would you still be willing to pay the $20? Because if it was something that I really liked, I'd still be willing to pay the $20.
Yeah, I would try
for the reliability of it.
I would try the stream first though, and see how it went.
You're a smart consumer.
Yeah,
there.
I'd give it a whirl, but if it didn't end up like working, if the Super Bowl was, I would have bought it.
Let me put it in a football term. So,
oh my god!
If the Super Bowl was streamed for free, or you had to pay $20 to get it on your TV, I'd just hand you the $20 and say, "Here's my $20. I'm not dealing with your streaming and the potential dropouts or interruption. Get out of here!"
But that's because
give me the football.
You know what the Super Bowl is going to be. No one knew what this was going to be.
Good point. Wanted it to be the Super Bowl.
So, what did you make of it?
I thought it was boring. I thought it was
painfully boring.
I thought it was so obvious in the aftermath. You know what it reminded me of? Normally, I put everything into golf terms. I'm going to put golf into football terms.
Oh.
This reminded me of the Patriots going down to Jacksonville at the beginning of the season and losing. When we all thought it was going to be the Pats going down there rolling, and you thought, you know what? This is a team that almost beat the Pats in Foxborough.
Who's Jacksonville?
In the postseason, right?
Which guy's Jacksonville?
No. Phil. Sure, Phil. Okay?
Phil is Jackson.
Just the event. Dick. The event itself.
I thought he won.
I thought it was going to be good. Yeah. Just like we thought the Patriots. But wait a second. No, the Pats got worse in the offseason. Jacksonville got a little bit better. Okay. This whole match was predicated on the personalities of the two golfers.
Who have very little personality.
They both have crappy personalities. So we should have known from the outset this was going to suck. And it ended up sucking because it was all based on the personality of these guys coming through. And they have bad personalities.
And this goes to show you how bad. This goes to show you how bad the state of golf is, because you're clinging on anything for any of these two guys to give me 4 or 5 moments during the day that where I'm happy that I paid the $20.
No.
Because I'm sitting there and you're on the edge of your seat and you're hanging, but because it's still two legendary golfers. There's no other two current golfers that you could do this and make anybody sit in your house with five buddies and say, we're hanging on every pitch.
The most noticeable difference to me right away was that when you're watching two guys go at it in a match and just playing their 18, there's no filler in between when guys are taking shots.
Oh,
and it's completely different from watching golf, because when you're watching the Masters or you're watching the U.S. Open or you're watching any golf tournament, it's sort of flying around, right? Okay, we go to 17 where Phil's, putting from 10 feet. And then you go, back here on 4 where someone's teeing off. And you're constantly getting something.
Well, you just heard that rumble. This here's what the rumble was coming in from the 2 holes down.
Like, you just got to sit there and wait for them to go to the next hole.
It's the tee shot. It's because Phil can still hit it 300 yards, right?
Right.
But it takes Phil a long time to walk 300 yards.
Yeah.
He was winded on the practice.
And all he was doing was, and they left them. They stupidly left the mics open just in case they said anything interesting. And the whole time it was. And I'm like, at one point I'm like, what's the announcer? Oh, wait, that's not the announcer. I kept getting confused, thinking that someone was sighing or getting snipped. And I'm like, oh, wait, no, that's one of the golfers breathing.
Right. Why didn't they use carts?
What's that?
Why didn't they use carts? Could have sponsored them. That's a sponsorship opportunity.
That'd be so cool if they had carts.
And
if
they would have gotten it done quicker.
That'd be great if they had a beer cart.
And especially on that golf course, which I've never played it, but if it's like most resort and destination courses, it is set up for people to take carts.
And you could have put a dash cam. You could have put a GoPro right hanging from the roof of the, you know what I mean?
You should have made them ride in the cart together and then have the caddies ride together. Have them talk while they're in the cart together.
Cart cam.
They needed you, Jim.
They could have
needed you doing the
plan. They need a producer's touch. They need a producer's touch. That's what they need.
At the turn, they could have had both of them go to the hot dog stand and order a snack or a hot dog. And
from what I understand,
that would have been if the bird lady came by midway through.
They see what they tip her, how much is Phil going to tip the cart, the cart guy or gal, whoever it is? You know, how much is Tiger going to tip for his soda?
Put on my tab. Put on my tab.
From what I understand, there is no.
Your money's no good here.
There's no turn at Shadow Creek. If you want something throughout the course of your round, you just
ask for it.
You just ask for it, and they bring it out.
Probably
to you.
A button in the cart. It's hey Alexa, bring me a Diet Coke.
I don't think
it's one of those deals.
I don't think it's anything that common, Beetle. I believe you requested from your four caddy, and then he goes ahead. Oh, you would care for a turkey club? Would you? What type of bread would you like, sir?
Right.
That were they talking? Thing. Were they dropping in sponsorships as they were talking?
No, I didn't think so. I didn't hear any of that.
It was just
late. I'm going to take a sip of my Gatorade
No, it wasn't like that. It wasn't that bad.
It was so uncompelling that we really didn't even watch it. You were there for a couple few hours.
Yeah, we watched it for 2 hours together, and it was in the background.
And I didn't sit down and say, okay, hold on. I'm going over to the couch now, and I'm going to watch this. When it got to 17 and Tiger was down one, I think on the 16th hole, I said, I'm going to watch the last 3 holes and invest, which was good because Tiger chipped in on 17 to make it all square. Yeah. And then they go to 18 and they finish all square. And then because they started it at 3 p.m.,
right,
it started getting dark. Las Vegas is just like Boston. It's on the leading edge of the time zone. It's on the eastern edge of the time zone. So it gets dark really early. So they don't have enough daylight to finish the match. So they play 18. They're still tied. They go back to 18 tee box, play it again, still tied. Oh.
Then they move the tee box.
We're going to move the tee box up to have a 93-yard wedge shot.
At a completely different angle. from where the original tee box is.
They move the hole over,
too. Basically flip it sideways.
Yeah, and decide, we're just going to do this, pitch and putt.
That's like Bagger Vance.
From 93 yards.
They turn lights on like Bagger Vance?
Yes, they turn lights on.
And they keep playing it over and over and over again like it's a par 3 course.
Awesome.
Under the lights.
Lame. Oh, they should get like the fluorescent balls out.
Lame.
So Tiger chipping in on 17 was probably the best thing we saw the entire day from a golf perspective.
Yep.
Then you had this back and forth. And so I get it. You know, I would just like to see, like, on 18, Tiger forcing Phil to, hey, no, make your putt. I know you're 98% from this. Just go ahead and show me. But I know in match play that's, like, not allowed. But here's what
it is allowed, but some of that gamesmanship would have been
good. It's not customary.
Right.
It's not customary to do that. But this, nothing about this was customary.
Did the NBA
It was for show.
What's that?
Who's that NBA guy?
Ernie Johnson. Ernie Johnson was the play-by-play.
Wow.
And Charles Barkley and Samuel L. Jackson.
And Samuel L. Jackson and Charles disappeared once they got to 18. It was like, oh, dinner reservations. They were gone. We never saw them again.
Susan Wallman waiting to get the on-field interview.
She was gone.
He was gone. Those guys were like contracted for a certain amount of time.
Yeah, it's like Shaughnessy.
Yes, someone tweeted me that. Someone said, that's like Shaughnessy at 1 o'clock. Out the door. Yeah. Up. My time's up. You only paid me until 5 p.m. Bye.
I don't think we're going to be dealing with this again. And again,
no.
People have ideas as it's happening, or like Jim just had, it's like, oh, that would have been better. It would have been better. I say bring back the Skins game on Thanksgiving weekend. And somebody had this online over the
weekend.
Skins
game was fun.
How about this? The winners of the four major championships in a Skins match. And if you have a double winner,
that's worth 20 bucks.
Then you've only got three guys out there playing Skins.
See, here's the thing.
One of those lame robots wins.
This event didn't change television, didn't change sports coverage.
Nope.
Wasn't exciting, didn't draw everybody's attention. But I'll say this. It's worth trying again. Tweaking it and doing something again like this.
Save golf.
It's worth continuing to try it.
It doesn't need to be saved. It was just,
again, the
whole notion that these two guys could carry it on their personalities alone was a flawed concept to begin with.
The conversations were so corny. They left the first tee box, and Tiger turns to Phil and says, speaking of cool, isn't Samuel L. Jackson just so cool?
I know.
And you're like,
his voice is awesome.
What a joke. Like, oh, stop it. Oh, stop. Like douche chills. What are you doing? What are you doing? Stop it.
You look like Pat.
Get it off me. Get away. Read and react coming up next. I don't think there are three words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Zolak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub. It's time to rage.
Did you see Phil running away from the...
Oh, Jesus!
And react.
You don't think you could have beat off that shark?
With Zolak and Bertrand.
Sanitarium.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All righty then.
It's Monday.
Yeah. A lot of good stuff. I can feel it. It's a good one today, Hardy.
It's Mondays I wake up and I say, you know what? It's a Monday. It's the grind.
We're all battling.
Get in that
something.
Traffic,
we're all
boy.
Under the weather.
Yeah.
Get in that traffic, boy, and get in there because you got read and react and you're going to beat that shark off.
Beat it off.
Here we
can't
go.
Wait.
Is everybody looking down there towards that goal line? Because we're fixing to cross it in just a minute.
If you weren't listening Wednesday, that's from the great state of Kentucky.
That's
where they have PA announcers.
Who was it? Coach Coop?
Who was it? A little commentary. Doing the play-by-play.
A little commentary on the game.
Cooksey. Coach Cooksey. Yeah. You got a little something up his sleeve, don't you think? Everybody, I told you
he had something up his sleeve.
How about you cook Coach Cooksey puts that whole pound of butter in his mashed potatoes?
Steelers lost to the Broncos 24-17. Here's Mike Tomlin on the loss.
Got to give Denver credit. They had a winning performance. We did not. We accept responsibility for that. So we got some work to do. We'll do it. We'll absorb this and what comes with it.
Okay.
And get back to work tomorrow.
I love the fact that here's what we're going to do. We will be accountable. We will accept the responsibility. We will sit there on that plane and we will absorb it. We will absolve all of our inequities.
And the tyranny of evil men.
Yes.
I love making fun of Mike Tomlin, but I don't know. I don't feel like he said anything that was...
Oh, it's just...
We'll do it. We'll absorb this and what comes with it and get back to work tomorrow.
That was like a coach doing a good job of saying nothing. That's something that he needs to practice more often.
So first question. Here we go.
The run defense wasn't what it had been in previous weeks. Was there anything in particular that you were doing there?
You know, I'm... you know, again, I'm not displeased with anything in terms of how the game unfolded other than the turnover ratio. Some of that minutia we'll look at when we watch the video.
I mean, turnover ratio isn't minutia.
He's got to slide that in there. You know what?
Turnovers are sort of a big deal.
No. He's saying the only thing that mattered was the turnovers. Everything else was minutia. We'll worry about that later.
I'm not displeased with anything in terms of how the game unfolded other than the turnover ratio. Some of that minutia we'll look at when we watch the video.
The only thing he's concerned with at the moment is turnovers?
Yeah. Run defense is minutia.
I get what he's saying. The biggest problem is, here's what he's trying to say. You know what wouldn't matter? Our run defense wouldn't matter if Ben didn't throw the ball into the hands of a defender. Like, doesn't matter.
A pretty damn good potentially game time.
I get what
drive.
He's saying. I actually
he's like the
answer.
Guy in Allegheny on his couch, the fan, saying that's all that mattered was the turnover at the end of the game. Nothing else mattered. It's all minutia.
That's not a terrible answer, though. Like, you pay your quarterback, and your quarterback is many times how your team goes. Hey, you know what, buddy? My run defense wouldn't mean jack if my quarterback just did his damn job. And you know what? In the NFL, as a quarterback, much like Tom Brady, he is expected to help a team overcome their deficiencies and their flaws. And yesterday he couldn't do it because he was once again flawed, throwing a terrible pick at a critical moment. I do not have an issue with his coach focusing on that.
2 weeks
in a
row.
I have no issue with Mike Tomlin doing that.
Think about that. That's one thing with Roethlisberger. He can throw for 500 yards every damn game. He lost that New England game last year by trying to force one in because everything was going crazy in his head. He did the same damn thing in Jacksonville last week, threw the pick. But guess what? They got called for something, so the penalty guy bailed him out. And if he didn't throw that pick to the guy that was closing and had the actual coverage on the receiver running a slant, I don't know why Pittsburgh keeps running slants over the middle of the field.
Because they're not worried about the details. They're only worried about the turnovers. That's why. That's the whole point.
Throw the fade.
That's why it's a terrible comment.
You got one of the best fade runners in the league.
Look, we got to keep moving.
You guys are talking.
Shut up.
Honest comment.
Yeah, we haven't seen him feature too much on defense, and today is his coming out party.
I'm just going to move on.
Not on board with that. Packers lost to the Vikings 24-17. Aaron Rodgers here talking about the Packers' playoff chances. What do you got for us, champ?
We're going to have to find a way to win a game on the road. We're 0-6 on the road.
Yep.
So we just got to go back home, get some rest, beat Arizona, and then come back. And
a bad team, yeah.
Beat Atlanta and go to Chicago, a place we've won a number of times. Beat them. Go to New York around Christmas. Beat them. And come home against Detroit, beat them, get a little help.
You know what? When he lays it out that way, it's not insurmountable.
Is it?
Sounds like Packers are going to the playoffs.
Well, at that point, you'll finish 9-6-1. You need some help, maybe you get in.
Yeah. Because all those teams they just met, you know what? You should be able to beat all those teams. Yeah.
Nah, Bears are a good team. Sorry, buying in on the Bears. Time to start thinking about the Bears a little
bit differently. Can the Packers
I'll take
beat
Green
the
Bay that game?
The Packers can beat the Bears.
They can beat the Lions.
They can beat Arizona. They can beat the Giants.
Can beat the Lions.
This is the whole thing. The whole
except the Panthers
persona
and the Pats,
except the Patriots
and the Patriots.
That's what he's doing.
Actually,
and the
Packers. Again, now that I bring it up,
he's talking you off the ledge. He's talking you off the ledge. Me off the ledge. This is what Rodgers does. Play that crap. Don't worry, buddy. Everybody relax. That's what we're gonna do. Go home. Get some rests. Plural rests. I'd love to get some rest alone, just rest, not rests.
Do you know what he's talking about?
No, I have no idea.
Browns beat the Browns over the Bengals 35-20 after the game. Hugh Jackson went in for the hug, but Baker Mayfield would only shake his hand.
Ooh,
Baker Mayfield.
Icy.
Yeah, what do you have to say about that after the game, Baker?
He said, good job, good game. That was brief. I didn't feel like talking. Left Cleveland, goes down to Cincinnati. I don't know. That's just somebody that was in our locker room asking for us to play for him and then goes to a different team. We play twice a year. Everybody can have their spin on it, but that's how I feel. It's just like any rivalry game. That's just how it is now. That's how I'm going to treat it every time we play him, but it's nothing. You know, there's no hate. That's just how it is. That's how I'm going to treat it. And I think that's how our team should treat it, too.
Was it his choice?
No, he was fired.
Okay. What he's saying. He goes, and that's where he's talking about the spin. People are going to spin it that, okay, he got fired and went down. He said, but bottom line, He plays for our in-state rival.
Yeah.
Okay? That is what it is. That's a great answer for that kid and where that team's heading. That kid's going to be, he could be mayor of that city.
He's tomorrow. Still being paid by the Cleveland Browns.
Right. So I think he's a consultant like to $4 million bucks a year. Idiots down there.
Right. He's making, and so he will also get paid by the Bengals. But
what was more disrespectful?
It's all offset money. So, like, whatever he makes from the Bengals just comes out of his Browns paycheck. It's all it is.
How about the DB that picked the ball off that ran over the sideline and handed it to him during the game?
I think Baker.
That one, that's the.
Like, real world is a little sensitive, but in terms of how it will play with his teammates in his locker room, will go a long
There's
way.
There's a little immaturity to the way he answered that, but.
But guys in that locker room will like that he said it.
I dig it.
How about Baker Mayfield dancing before the game? Did you see his pregame dancing?
I didn't catch that, no.
No.
What was up with the pregame dancing?
Pregame dancing? I mean, you got Philly Collins playing the drums. What do you mean?
In the air tonight.
Well, then you know what? Dance all you want.
And no one's ever called him Philly.
He's never a showman. By the way, I've never had an issue with guys dancing. I know Zoe's had a big issue with like Cam Newton dancing before games.
Well, it's one thing if
I know you got a big issue with the dancing.
If you don't stretch at all. If your whole team's stretching and Cam Newton just dances, he puts his towel up on his head and he tucks it in and he pulls his pads up all the way so you can see his stomach. And he dances the entire warm-up while the whole team's stretching. He doesn't stretch.
Well, how did he dance? Did he like play the drums like doo-doo?
No, he does the Indian thing.
Who's that?
Be involved with the many
spit it out last
things.
I love that guy. Many things in life.
Things.
The Jaguars lost to the Bills in Buffalo.
It's a good loss for them.
24-21. Leonard Fournette was ejected for fighting with Shaq Lawson. And then Fournette tried to fight everyone. He just wanted to fight.
Then they
he was fighting everybody. He's fighting in the tunnel.
I'll fight
in
the
locker room, fighting
you.
In the parking lot.
People on the sideline said they were screaming where they said, we're going to go to the parking lot after this. When this is all said, we're going to fight again. And I bet that's real. That ain't no NBA.
Good. Okay, so take your helmets off.
This ain't the NBA.
Do me a favor, NFL players. The next time you want to get into a fight, right? You want to fight. Be like NHL players. Rip the helmets off. Yeah. Helmets come off first. Then I'll watch your fight.
Well, maybe he addresses this.
I'm not going to watch your stupid fight where you're punching each other in the helmet. The only guy you're going to hurt doing that is yourself. You're going to break your hand.
So,
dummy.
Leonard was asked about this in his postgame.
That's just how I was raised, you know what I mean? Like, they're going to laugh about it, say what they say, but your brother getting attacked, fighting out there, man, you're going to have to go out there and also protect your own, you know, but same time, it's professional now, you know what I mean? You can have that. You know, I apologize to all the kids out there who look up to me, you know, our fans, but I take full responsibility for that.
Oh, that's good.
I like that.
Kids.
That is a full 180 in the middle of the answer. That's how I was raised. That's what I'm going to do. I'm
going to
protect my brother.
Yep.
Okay, you fight him, you're fighting me. All right, I can see that. That's fine. But you know, I want to say that it's not right. I'm a professional. I shouldn't have done that, and I apologize to all the children.
Having said that.
You know, I apologize to all the kids out there who look up to me, you know, and all our fans, but I take full responsibility for that.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
He gets like somber out of nowhere.
Kids, think about the children.
Every time you tuck yourself in or Giselle tucks you in to bed, do you think about the tuck rule?
React. I laughed at that the first
time.
That just pisses me off.
Doesn't that piss you off? This pisses me off. Banter between those two.
That's not okay.
It's just not good. It's just not good. Oh, God.
So bad.
Gets me so excited for the interview for tonight.
Tom,
did you start your
Tom, did you
Tom?
Have a
Every pee. Time you tuck yourself in or Giselle tucks you in to bed, do you think about the tuck rule?
Tom, I noticed your trainers are working on your right hand during the game against the Jets yesterday, Tom.
Do you think it's right when they're working on your right hand?
Did you have a boo-boo, Tom?
Hot takes.
I am Superman.
Oh, yeah.
Wrong song.
Oh. Zoe and Beetle, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yeah.
Tell you what,
a couple minutes here before the top of the hour. What are you going to tell us?
It's no city that does Christmas like New York. Not that we were in New York, we're in Jersey. But you're driving, you see the city over there, and it's all lit up. I'm thinking, man, they must be decorated for Christmas.
Because the city is lit up because they it's have like a big beautiful skyline?
It's so pretty. It's like, it's a whole nother world down there, man. We're just a little, we're a little speck up here.
So when you see that, like in July, does that still mean Christmas to you because the buildings
God,
are
no.
lit up?
Nope. You're thinking Hamptons. Right there, you're thinking big money Hamptons.
Oh.
Helicopters.
Why don't you move down there then?
Hell
yeah.
What would I do?
You love it so much.
Could you
so
imagine
great.
Me
this
doing,
a little speck up here.
Imagine me doing middays on the fan.
No,
the
just
FAN.
Go down there and live.
Hi,
don't
I'm Steve Summers. I'm you Scott Zolak.
Love it so much.
Yeah. Maybe I could do it for Francesa.
Yeah, maybe you could.
Yeah.
Well, what's up, Mike?
I think it's worth checking out.
I think he'd enjoy your company immensely.
Jason Lockett before had this report yesterday. Speaking about Hugh Jackson, yeah. Obviously what you heard Baker Mayfield say about him. How about this? Hugh Jackson could be in line to be the Bengals' next head coach if Marvin Lewis exits. He writes, the recent hiring of Jackson in Cincinnati is being viewed as a potential succession plan by several other owners and general managers who are preparing their own coaching searches. Lewis and Jackson are very close, and Jackson is very well thought of within the Bengals organization from his prior stints there. He is a favorite of Bengals owner Mike Brown.
Oh, my God.
Who tends to do things his own way, the cheap way, especially when it comes to coaching, hirings, and firings. And it would not be a surprise at all if this transaction were to take place for 2019.
Isn't it amazing, like, the
holy
way
crap.
Okay.
He's going to get another head coaching gig, and it's going to be taking over for Marvin Lewis. The Bengals fans that have dealt with the endless tenure of Marvin Lewis, who should have been fired a decade ago.
Think about that culture that exists on that defense.
Finally going to go. He's finally going to get fired.
Yep.
And the guy who replaces him is Hugh Jackson.
More of a doormat that you could step on.
Find
they
a new
step
team.
All over him. Right.
Bengals fans, find a new team to root for.
I feel bad for you Bengals fans.
No
I
way
do.
That story's true.
It
no
can't be true.
Why?
Why do you think no way it's true? Based on what?
Hugh Jackson is the biggest media honk that feeds information to all these media people. People don't say anything bad about Hugh Jackson because he feeds them stories nonstop. This is coming from Hugh Jackson. I can almost guarantee you this is coming from Hugh Jackson. He wants to get his name out there.
I like it.
Oh, the Bengals are going to hire him? Maybe we should look at him.
Ton of coaching jobs out there.
All these other guys are getting mentioned as possible head coaches, and Hugh Jackson's not being mentioned by anybody.
This story would be enough to get a team to consider Hugh Jackson? Come on.
Do you know what?
Come on.
Even I mean, it's one thing if you're McDaniels.
It fills his ego to have his name mentioned among the other candidates. His name's not mentioned at all
by
anybody.
How does that work? It works if you're McDaniels and you're a successful offensive coordinator.
If you were coveted before and you'll be coveted again.
But nobody, who wants to hire him as their head coach?
Nobody.
When I first heard of the Condoleezza Rice thing last week, I thought of Hugh Jackson putting it out there. That's how much I thought. You know what? This is coming from Hugh Jackson, isn't it?
I'm not saying you're wrong, Jim. I just think it's stupid if he thinks that's going to work.
First Adam Schefter podcast after Hugh Jackson got fired. You know whose guest was?
Hugh
Jackson.
He did a whole media tour. He was on FS1 for a day. He was all over the place.
Yeah.
But his record speaks for itself.
Exactly my point.
Poor of a coach that he was.
I don't disagree with you that he's a media whore. What
exposed.
I'm saying is I find this story believable because Mike Brown and the Bengals are idiots. Their decision over and over and over again to keep Marvin Lewis and then bring on Hugh Jackson as like a high-end assistant and some sort of consultant should tell you enough that they're idiots. Like this is a stupid team that is going to do a stupid thing.
That's cheap help. From a guy who's already been there. The Browns are paying him. We're going to have him coach. He's a good offensive coach.
Right. And what will happen next year?
Just like the Patriots did with McDaniels, right? They brought him in after the Rams fired them all.
But that wasn't because he was cheap. That's because he was good. And they like him. Don't confuse
all right,
McDaniels.
I'm sorry, Brett Bielema. Let's use Brett Bielema as the excuse.
Okay, he's cheap.
Being paid by Arkansas, right?
Yeah.
Same
Patriots
with Lombardi.
He's like an extra coach. He's not a coordinator. He's an extra coaching assistant.
Yeah, that's what Hugh Jackson is.
Yeah, but he went back to the team that he worked for before, and he went back
Boy,
to
really
his mentor,
him,
Marvin Lewis.
Really helped him showing Cincinnati the ins and outs of the way that the Cleveland Browns run themselves. Yeah,
find a new team. If you're a Bengals fan and this happens, and this is true, find a new team. There's no hope for you.
Your helmets suck anyway.
You know what convinced me more than anything about the Hugh Jackson thing is the fact that he's liked all of the best quarterbacks that have come out of the last 5 years that the Browns didn't draft, but he hasn't liked any of the ones that they did draft.
Well, he liked Baker,
He only liked Mahomes, Watson, and Wentz. Those are the only quarterbacks that he's liked the past few years.
Well, those are all good quarterbacks. At least if that's...
So he had it right, and they just didn't draft them. They traded out of those positions so that they couldn't draft those guys, but he liked them.
I don't understand your point.
That everything
out there about Hugh Jackson is that he's this great coach. He's a great guy. He's a great talent evaluator.
I don't know who thinks that. He got so exposed on Hard Knocks. That's the killer for him.
I don't think he needed Hard Knocks. Look at the way the team played.
No. But I know.
Look at the way the media portrays him. The national media portrays him positively.
Look at the way the team has played without him. They were up 28-0 yesterday in the first half.
I wouldn't want him anywhere near my organization.
They went in there and stomped him in the first half yesterday. Look at how they played without him.
He actually had real coaches on his staff during camp telling him, you're running this the wrong way, Hugh. We need this. We need to practice. Nope. We scheduled days off, okay? You know what I mean? Because I'm sitting in the right seat. Right, Al? Right, Al? Huh? Al Saunders. Right, how about that? Yeah.
There's a reason Lombardi calls him Huey Headlines, right? You think he did that himself? Think that's his own nickname, or do you think people around the league call him that?
Around the league call him that.
Yeah, Huey Headlines. He sucks up to the media to get certain headlines to go his way.
Look what he said. The eagle has landed. It's in the building. See, in shape.
He's landing. He didn't know Josh Gordon was starting.
In shape.
When he said he wasn't going to start.
Groupings. Packages.
Did the national media kill him for that?
Packages.
The national media didn't kill him for that.
No, they killed Josh Gordon.
All right. We'll see. Time will tell, Jim. He'll either get the job and be considered or he won't.
I wouldn't be considered. We see one of these reports on Sunday mornings, right? We're going to see, listen, this team X is considering blank, 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 and one name you might not have heard, Hugh Jackson. I wouldn't be surprised to hear a bunch of those coming up.
So then you must also.
I'd be shocked.
You must agree with Daniel's take I have today, which is he's contributing to put this name being out there.
Yeah, I just want to know why. I think it's coming from his camp. Yeah. I'm just curious why.
I think it's coming from multiple places. It's just a question of why.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling.com. Helplinema.org.